Welcome to the Applied Podcast. I'm Baron Gogan. In this episode, I'll be speaking with Beth Hayes. Beth works for CSU Extension as the Agriculture, Natural Resources, and Small Acreage Specialist in Pueblo County. She also serves as the Colorado State Lead for the Emergency Management Work Team. Beth, thanks so much for being here. Could you tell us a little bit about your background?
So I am a sixth generation native here in Pueblo County, so born and raised here. Went away for school at CSU where I got my 4 undergraduate degrees, and then I took a break and was just working full time in the ag industry doing a bunch of different jobs on dryland farming, cow-calf ranches. I worked in a feedlot for a while. I was a turf farm manager for a while in Colorado, and then I came back to CSU and did my master's in agriculture and a couple extension education certificates and minors, and then landed the job with Pueblo County first as the 4-H coordinator and livestock coordinator, and then switched to the ag specialist 2 years after I started that original position, and been doing this ever since.
How did you get interested in agriculture?
I've wanted to do agriculture as far back as I can remember. It's the only thing I've ever wanted to do. I was constantly finding ways to be around cattle and horses and farming from a very young age. I started riding horses when I was 4 and haven't stopped since, and have just done everything and anything I could to stay in that life and get better at it with every experience I've been offered.
Could you tell us a little bit about the overall role of CSU Extension regarding safety and emergency planning in Colorado?
Absolutely. So emergency management is not a new concept to CSU by any means. It's been around for quite a long time. It was kind of pioneered by previous employees of CSU that have since retired or just moved on from the university in general. So one of the leading pioneers in this space when we think of CSU is Dr. Reagan Adams. She was the veterinarian extension specialist for Colorado for a very long time. She has since retired, and she really started that movement of emergency management when it comes to agriculture and just safety for our various communities here in Colorado. So the university kind of started to take a harder look at that, and what role could we offer to the clients we serve across the state in a variety of ways. We're not firefighters or cops or anything like that, but what we can offer is a lot of research, education, and community support during times of disaster in areas such as food safety, agricultural land use, well water restrictions, all of these things that are really important after various fires and winter storms and different things that our state experiences. This is where CSU really has a strong history and a background. So we've kind of found our own niche, and now we've really just started to make pretty serious headway and being in the realm of what we call response. Before, CSU has had a very strong history in recovery and preparedness for disasters of all kinds and types. Now we're starting to really move in the direction of response and coordinate with other state agencies that have been doing it. And we're getting our feet wet in a big way. So that's been pretty exciting.
What are some of those state agencies that you're involved with now?
So one of the biggest one is the Colorado Department of Agriculture, specifically their Emergency Management Agriculture Division. So there's 9 divisions in CDA. We specifically work with the EM1. And just this year, for the first time ever, CSU has entered what we call an MOU, which is a memorandum of understanding with the Colorado Department of Ag, saying that between that state agency and the university, now there is a big agreement saying that both agencies are going to work together to better the lives of our community clients in times of great need, specifically in disasters of any kind. So that's like when the bridge went out on Highway 50, when there's been rock slides, when there's fires, when there's flooding, when there's extreme events that affect our community in different ways, both the state agency and the university come together. And in that role, we've now taken on leads where we are sitting at the State Emergency Operations Center in the agriculture spots. So we have some of our ag economists like Jenny Byerman, who's sitting in that spot as the primary. I am there as the secondary lead as required by the state. We are working a lot with FEMA and Homeland Security quite a bit in that role. And we work very closely with the USDA as well to kind of make sure our producers, our landowners, and even our urban folks have the best resources and education possible to help them before, during, and after a disaster.
So what sort of key public safety and emergency planning resources are available to communities right now?
So we have quite a few. There's a lot out there that are just United States in general, but Colorado specifically is kind of unique in the disasters that we face, fire being one of the bigger ones. And so with that, Colorado has built what we call the After the Disaster Guide. And what is nice is this walks community people through what they need to know before, during, and after a disaster. And there's a lot of good information in there. If it's a fire, if it's a flood, what they should do about their refrigeration items at their home. How soon could they go and start cleaning ash off furniture in their house that might have been contaminated, really viable things that they're going to need to know that other first responders just won't have the time to explain to them in the detail they're going to need in order to go back to their properties once the evacuation orders have been lifted. So that's a really huge guide. We do have it translated in Spanish as well, and we're looking at trying to get it into other languages that are more predominantly in our state besides just English and Spanish. So that one is a really free guide. You just go on to Colorado State University. It just asks you a couple questions that we use for reporting because this is a nationwide access portal. So we have people from all over the United States downloading it, being able to edit the template so it can be used for different states as they need to, and then they can put relevant community information that's relevant to their area and then print it. We've done that for the Maui fires. We did that with the Texas fires. And just a couple days ago, we gave that access to Alaska as well for fires. So we've done that for multiple state agencies and other land grant universities. And we're very excited to have that as a big takeaway for folks. We also have a lot of other specific guides that are for Colorado for low flammability plants so that you know if you want to do fire mitigation on your own property, you know what Colorado plants are very susceptible to fire and which ones aren't so that you can plant your property better and you can protect your outside structures a lot better if you do have to evacuate, but the plants can hopefully mitigate how bad the fire impact should potentially be. So there's quite a bit out there, which is nice.
In your opinion, what would you say is one of the biggest areas that there's room for improvement?
I think the biggest room for improvement is our reach to the rural communities for a livestock preparation act when it comes to emergency management. In a lot of our communities, extension is written into what we call the Emergency Support Functions 11, which stands for agriculture in most of our counties. And those are the ones who are responsible for evacuating, sheltering, and addressing any livestock needs during a disaster. And that can look very different for every county, and it can look very different for every incident. So having that, and it just for most of the time, it just says extension will handle that. And it doesn't elaborate, which is very difficult in disaster times, especially if staff are not properly trained on how to talk to first responders. It's a different way of jargon. It's a whole different slew of terminology. And the pace is very quick. The learning curve is extremely steep in that, especially when people's lives are in danger. No one exactly has a lot of time to walk you through a lot of education at a slow rate. It's kind of drinking from a fire hose. And what we don't want to do is throw anybody into that situation unprepared in the heat of the moment where everyone is panicking and they want to help, they just don't know how. Then you also have the other side where in our ranching communities, our more rural areas, everyone's willing to help. Everyone wears a million hats because there's just less population. But because of that, we also want to make sure that it's being done in the most efficient way possible to where it's less stress on everyone that's wearing 10 different hats, because that's how we get burnout in our small communities. So what we're also trying to do is give them more resources, more ways that they can handle their own disasters where we don't see that level of burnout.
What would you say good emergency planning looks like in a more agriculture-focused area?
So in those areas, a really good plan is when everyone has met before anything big happens, preferably like in a slower winter time when all of the producers are kind of slowed down or maybe making plans for the next year for their operation, and get them all in a room and talk about what are the biggest assets that they need to protect in their community, where are they going to go if something really gets out of control, and who has the access to move all those animals, how many trucks and trailers do they realistically have access to. How much feed could they get? How long can they keep those animals there? And then the other big piece is biosecurity. If it's more of a disease situation with a wildfire on top of it, which we've seen multiple times in this state, how are they going to handle that? Do they have even enough vets to come out and do biosecurity help, let alone triage needs, different things like that. And then once they have that beginning conversation, actually writing it down and having a plan and having people listed with phone numbers, because a lot of time that basic phone tree doesn't exist. It's people calling their brother, their aunt, their son to get someone else's number, and that takes a lot of time during an emergency. So having some of those basic steps is a really good place to start, getting your emergency manager involved. Typically the fire chiefs and the sheriff is the next big piece, and then making sure everybody knows who's doing what, who's coordinating that, and then doing a few practice drills if you can before the season really gets busy is the best way. And that doesn't take too much time, because a lot of folks in the rural areas are like, I don't have time to do that. But if you take it seriously for even just a month, you can get almost all of that done and then be prepared for kind of the whole year. And at least you have somewhere to start instead of just winging it when you really need it.
Can you tell us a little bit about the community animal response team?
Yes. So CARTs look different in every part of the state. Some of them are ran by extension people. For example, Pueblo is one of those spots. In other places, it's ran by the sheriff's office or other associations. Like in Jefferson County, it's ran by their local horse association. In Douglas County, it's ran by their emergency management department of like police and some other folks. In Teller County, it's ran by the sheriff's office, but it's all volunteers from their community. So it looks different in every place, just based on who has the capacity to handle that need is what it comes down to. In Pueblo, we handle what we call the livestock division. So it's everything that it's not considered a pet. Horses are one of those that sit on a weird line, but they are considered livestock animals. Same thing with chickens and rabbits, even if they live indoors and wear a diaper and they're their best pet, that's still a livestock animal. All that means is that they're just being housed with similar species. That's the only distinction when we think of emergency management for that need. In Pueblo, we have about 55 volunteers, and that's from the community. We train for a variety of different disasters and needs of our community. Since I've taken the team over, I started with 0 volunteers. We're now sitting at that nice number of 55. We're one of the most trained civilian groups in the state. They have been trained with FEMA, Homeland Security. They do have badges that are verified with our sheriff's office, and they all have logos, badges, and uniforms that they wear when on scene. We also have done rescue training as well. We're one of the few that have technical large animal rescue emergency response training. So we can handle, we had quite a few this year already. We had a horse go through a septic tank that fell straight through. We had a cow go into a window well and bowl into somebody's basement. And then we had another horse that got hit by a car that we had to deal with in a very busy intersection. So we've dealt with a lot of extraction techniques. We've done that through trainings, and we've done it live. And it's been a wonderful experience having people who are very dedicated to this community and care about the animals that they live and work next to. So that's kind of the basics of it. And it looks basically like that in every community. It just looks a little different on how it's ran and who's running the show. But otherwise, the core message stays the same, is we're there to help the animals and the people that are associated with them.
That's really interesting. And that's a great service. Let's say someone in extension in a county that doesn't have a CART set up yet is looking to maybe set something like that up. Where do you think they should start?
So we have quite a few resources through CSU in our what we call Saving Pets, Saving Lives. We have a whole toolkit of webinars, PDF documents, and everything else to start that entire process. And you can start what we call a community action plan, which walks you through all of that information. How do you go up setting that first meeting? How do you gain interest? How do you get volunteers? What should that look like? It lines all of that up, which is really, really helpful for anybody to start in, even if they're not in extension. Extension-wise, that's why we created the emergency management work team, and I'm the lead of that. So staff have somebody they can reach out to directly and say, this is what I'm wanting to do. I don't know where to start. Can we meet? Can we have a conversation and bounce ideas off to see what is the best fit for their area? Because a lot of people try to mirror what either I do in Pueblo or what happens in Douglas County in Castle Rock or what they do in Larimer County or Jeffco, which is all great. But for a lot of other counties, that just isn't possible because it's a different dynamic, a different community. And it's hard to picture what pieces should you take and what should you leave out if you don't have a conversation with somebody. So for the first time, we kind of have that constant 24 access of, I don't know what to do. Can you help me? And then the other nice thing with the work team is if something happens that's a large enough response, like we saw with the Marshall Fire a couple of years ago, we have multiple people spread out throughout the state who can help that community and that extension office in times of need that have very specific experience when it comes to disasters. So no one's kind of left hanging on their own where they're expected to be an absolute expert in all of these matters. The work team is really where that benefits, and we can pool everybody's knowledge together to make it the most benefit for the community and the university.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Applied Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about emergency management in Colorado, be sure to check out the resources included in the show notes. If you work in extension or regional emergency management in Colorado, you can also reach out directly to Beth over email.